This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the breakfast grill today is Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricant International. This is a 100% subsidiary of Petronas and involved in automotive and industrial lubricants with worldwide sales. Petronas Lubricants, or PLI, is also one of the top 15 manufacturers in the world with a meaningful global market share. In Malaysia, they are known for products such as Synthium and Mac 5. Morning, Giuseppe. This is a fairly big business, $2 billion US dollars in revenue in 2015, and is not a business that many people take notice of. Were lubricants affected by the kind of turmoil that was going on in the oil world?
Indeed. I mean, Petronas Lubricant International is part of Petronas and is part of an oil company, is impacted to an extent by the outlook and by the environment, which is actually pretty harsh for this business. However, I think it's quite different as well, in a way that our spread, which is much more wide than the one of a usual company. We operate in more than 80 countries selling our products. We got quite a big manufacturing base. We got 11 manufacturing plants across the world, two actually under construction, one in China, one in Argentina. And we have about 1,500 distributors. The fact that we are so spread balances out the risk to an extent, because some markets still have condition for growth. Some markets are less effective, some markets are more affected. Overall, I think that if you look at the overall lubricants market last year, what we saw was very, very small growth. And if you look at the overall performance of the business as well, last year we were actually flat. But if you take in consideration that last year, actually our market share grew from 13 position to 10 position, now we can say we are between the, actually not the, the top 15, top, but the top 10.
Top 10.
Which is actually quite a major achievement for, let me say, a startup. We operated as an integrated company only in 2008, mm-hmm. when Petronas decided to actually acquire the western part of the mm-hmm. business, basically out in Europe, at the time formerly Selenia Group. And again, I think now having this geographical spread across the globe give us, let me say, a unique position and a better advantage to balance out, as I said before, across customer, across segment geographies, the downturn, which is clearly impacting. If you're looking at China alone, for example, I mean, China in 2015 lost about 30% in the automotive space in terms of production. And this year is actually recovering about 20% rate in that segment. So you see this cyclical as well happening. But again, I think it's to an extent we are a better position.
How do you source your raw materials? Are they all coming from Petronas, or do you also go out into the open world to source things as well?
There are different components into our products, clearly. Its majority is made of base oil, and base oil is direct output from a refinery to an extent. And then there are other additives and other components that actually make the chemicals right for the specific applications. When it goes to the base products, so the base oil, we are mostly sourcing from our internal. Mm-hmm. And that gives us actually quite a unique advantage, especially from our, I don't want to be technical, but our Group 3 product, which is one component of the synthetic range, which is a upper range of our product, is sourced from Malacca, the mm-hmm. Malacca refinery, and is a unique product to Petronas and a unique product to PLI. We produce that product, we use it for our product, but also we sell it in the market to an extent.
And how do you take care of things like transfer pricing? Because right now, PLI is within Petronas, so that problem isn't so glaring. But there are rumors and whispers that PLI is also considering an IPO of its own. So is it purely a case of right hand to left hand kind of pricing, or does Petronas, the parent, subject you to more rigorous pricing mechanisms?
I think it's more the latter. I think to an extent, I think that there is a transfer price mechanism, clearly. But that has to take into account the remuneration of the capital and the activity that you do to produce the product itself. So I think that you might have a small advantage, clearly, compared to the external environment, but it's limited to an extent. So we compete in the market with our integrated strategy, that's clear. But also at the same time, we have a fair mechanism inside that that take in consideration the different kind of return you expect in the different kind of businesses. So mm-hmm. likewise, any other competitor is doing.
So within the oil world, I'm not sure if your products and your raw materials are directly correlated to what's happening with oil. One would presume that the margins would be much higher because oil has become so much cheaper.
There is a direct correlation with the base oil costs, because that is the feeding is actually the oil per se. But as I said, especially when you go to the higher range of our products, where actually we compete, because we are a small player, but we're very focused in terms of our customer that we want to serve. Synthetic is actually our main product. And to actually make this product especially comply with the new environmental stringent standards that you have with the new Euro 5, Euro 6 engine that are manufacturing, even in countries actually that don't have this specification, you had to add some components. And this component's price is actually anti-cyclical. So if part of your product cost goes down, the other part actually goes up. So it's true that you can benefit a little bit from this cycle, but at the same time, given your specific product range, the effect is not that great. And in any case, there's always a lag between the time when the product costs come down and you reflect that into your market. Likewise, when the product goes up, you got the same effect. So I think if you look over a longer space of time, it's actually neutral.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricants International. And Malaysia is, of course, a very key market for PLI. In fact, the auto sector features very prominently, and you have almost one-third of the market share of lubricants for cars. Are you affected by the poor sales in vehicles this year in Malaysia?
Only partly. Let me say, first of all, we're very happy because in Malaysia, we recently re-signed a Perodo contract for the first fill, which I think is a great news, on sales fill. But also we won for the first time beyond the first fill contract, which I think gives the opportunity to PLI not just to expand in Malaysia, but even beyond, because that is standard that is set globally for Honda. So I think it's great results. As you said, we got a high market share. This is our market. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy, to be honest, because I think we should be doing better than we do. Some segment we actually are very strong, especially in the OEM space. Some segment we have some way to go, in particular B2C part, mm-hmm. and the B2B to an extent.
And on that note, actually you're number two in Malaysia in spite of this being the home ground. Shell is number one. Why is Petronas as a brand name not making a bigger splash in Malaysia, the home ground?
I think we have to look at our own faults. I think we've been sometimes be too comfortable, and I think we have been not responsive enough to the evolving customer needs. I mean, Malaysian customers are actually quite sophisticated in itself, right? It's, if you look at especially the retail space.
We love our cars.
Yeah, but you are actually quite sophisticated because you are demanding not just to have a fair price when you go down, but also to have an excellent service, to find tidy and clean spaces, and also to provide the convenience that you require. Mm-hmm. So when you actually make the decision of buying fuel is not a nice experience per se. You actually have to shell out quite a lot of money in one purchase. Yeah, so you demand to be treated in the right way, to your needs satisfied. And again, I think we realize in Petronas that customer needs are paramount, and that somehow we have not been fast enough in reacting to those needs. But I think the good news is that now we are changing that very fastly. We want to be number one. That is out of question. And we will be number one. And I think we're starting a program both on the retail side, but also on the lubricant side, to push in our product, to answer the customer needs, to give the customer excitement as well in the purchase, mm-hmm. and also in the fulfillment of their needs. And I think that over the next 2 years, you'll see more of this happening in the street, but also in all those buying occasions that the customer will have to buy lubricants or fuel.
So going back to that Perodua deal, who exactly are you selling to? How does the deal work? Are you selling to Perodua, the company, or are Perodua car buyers your customers?
Actually, both of them, to an extent, because I think we are selling generally not to Perodua. We sell it for the first year, but also they're selling the full range of the aftermarket. So when the customer requires an oil change or periodic check, they can buy our product in the franchise workshop, even outside of the franchise workshop. So it's both, actually.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricants International, which is a purveyor of lubricants for cars and machine. Up next, we'll talk about PLI's global operations. On the breakfast grill today is Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricants International. And this is a company that's under Petronas selling lubricants to cars and machines. Giuseppe, you have had a very varied global experience. I mean, you were with major international companies and you joined Petronas, I guess, 2 years ago. And in the global lubricant scene, the market is divided into national oil companies supplying the market as well as international oil companies. What is the difference in this gap, the market that's supplied by NOCs and one that is supplied by the international oil companies, companies like Shell and so on?
I think the difference is based on also the history of this company. So if you're looking at a company like Shell or BP Castrol or Exxon to an extent, they've been around for ages, for decades. So they built strength in the brand, they built high visibility, and also they've been excellence in their product. So their position is actually quite stable to an extent. Then you got new players, usually starting from NCO, as you said, a national oil company. They actually want to enter the space and promote their brand. I think PLI and Petronas actually are kind of in the middle. Starting from a very strong base in Malaysia, which is our own country, we expanded through acquisitions and through organic growth, as I said, in more than 80 markets worldwide. But still, we are a new brand. We are a newcomer. Mm-hmm. So our effort is actually to make sure that our brand is visible and recognized. And actually, to an extent, Formula One helped us quite a lot to bring that brand and that capability linked to the Formula One technical skills be known everywhere. So clearly, I think that we are fighting against established player, and we are have an advantage compared to the NCO because so we're focusing in more than one market now.
Yeah, you think that Petronas Lubricants has an advantage, and I also want to ask you who has that advantage in that dichotomy between the NOCs, the national oil companies, and the international privately owned oil companies, because is there some kind of funding, some kind of nudge that is being given by government policy, government support, and so on for the NOCs?
There is. I think in some market you got some high barrier in terms of production. So you need to operate through license, through joint venture, and through part ownership. And in some cases you also have restriction in terms of the material, raw material that you can use that limits sometimes the formulation and the quality of the product. So in some cases you cannot compete unless you want to compromise your quality promise. But I think overall, I think that it doesn't really exist. So if you're looking at the wider space, and especially the most developed market or the one with the highest growth opportunity in the short term, you're actually quite free to compete in terms of availability of product, raw material, in terms of availability of licenses actually to set up business and operate, and access to market.
The outlook for global economic growth is quite weak at the moment. I mean, we have China struggling. Europe is going nowhere. The only market that's somewhat growing is the United States. But the rest of the world really can be said to be in kind of a doldrum. What is the outlook for lubricants? Is it very correlated to what's happening with global economic growth?
Well, it is indeed, actually. I mean, we had an original plan 2 years ago, actually was built on top of forecasted GDP growth that now has to be revised, because the expectation for the next 5 years is slightly lower. So clearly, the market will not give us help in terms of achieving our objective, which is to double the business in the next 5 years. But it is true, building competitive advantage and actually winning business away from competitors. And our focus is actually quite clear on the top end in terms of automotive synthetic lubricants, but it's also in terms of segments. So we want to go in the industrial space, which is an application-based lubricants that you had to develop, where we think that we do have skills and scale to compete. Again, if you're looking at what we've done so far, through deploying those skills across the globe, giving ourselves access to a wider manufacturing base, so with investment we've done, again, I said in Argentina, as I said before, in China, where we're actually building a plant, in India, we're actually building a plant right now, we're setting the foundation to develop our strategy. So again, we're not going to be helped. We are going to be winning the business away from competitors.
And talk to us a little bit more about China. And PLI obviously went into China in 2013 with a joint venture with the world's second largest diesel manufacturer, Yuchai Group in China. In all the negative things that are being said about China today, how is your investment doing in China?
I think I can say that Yuchai and the overall entry strategy that we have implemented in China over the last 5 years has been a success. So give me the chance, the opportunity to actually access the second largest world manufacturer of diesel engine, gave us a unique platform, first of all, to develop technology in that space that you can actually use elsewhere, but also to bring visibility to the brand. So our product, actually our the drop, so our brand is actually on the product, and it's accessible in more than 100,000 shops across China. And we've experienced growth both in our joint venture, but also in the other part, where we are actually building a new route to market, as we say. Mm-hmm. We have a product called Cicro, actually quite effective, which is looking at targeting much better our customers, equipping our sales force with better tools for diagnostic, mm-hmm. and also helping our distributors to monitor and improve performance day in, day out. It actually has been recognized in the market as actually one of the excellence in the industry.
And you know, the numbers that are coming out of China, just staggering, 140 million liters of motor oil sold in 2014. Can you just put this into perspective? What is the capacity of Petronas lubricants itself compared to the 140 million liters sold in China?
Well, I think that, I mean, this year we're going to be doing more than that. But I think that in terms of capacity, as I said, we're doubling the capacity of our operation. So we did quite a major investment in the Shandong area. Our plant is in Weifang. And that plant is going to be commissioned at the end of this year. And the capacity now is going to be 220 kilotons per year. Combined with that is also the joint venture capacity, which is in excess of 100,000. So I think we are well equipped for the future. Our aim in China is actually to grow much more. And if you're looking over the next 5 years, we're also planning some other investment that will help us to cater for that growth.
This morning, we have Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricants International, and we're talking about the world of lubricants. What you mentioned earlier, Giuseppe, about retail strategy is very interesting because you tied up with somebody in China. Are these petrol station? Because I also want you to link that back to how you sell in Malaysia. I think most of it would be with the Petronas stations.
In Malaysia, yes.
So, and I think that a retail strategy is quite costly and quite complicated as well. So tell us, how do you sell your stuff?
Well, I mean, the retail piece actually is not the biggest part, if I have to be honest, right? So I think that when you are selling to a consumer, you're selling mostly through two different channels. One is the retail one, while the other one is a true workshop, whether they're a franchise workshop or independent workshop. And I think that is actually the biggest space. So we are targeting partners that actually got quality in their selling capabilities, also in terms of also in the hardware, to be able to cut it to our proposition. So when it goes to touching the consumer, I think it's, again, retail is not as fundamental. It is more in terms of visibility of the brand, because it carries your brands, you reinforce the quality of your perception to an extent. But when it goes actually to touching the end consumer, I think the independent workshop and the franchise workshop are actually more relevant for us.
How important is research and development, and how much are you spending into R&D?
It's critical for us because I think it's we as a player position ourselves as a leading provider of fluid technology solution. What does it mean is that we cater for the customer needs of more sophisticated type. And in that space, I think it's investment in R&D is fundamental. We got a major technology center in Italy, in Turin, that was a legacy of the previous acquisition. We are investing into that. We're creating a major state-of-the-art capability. Also, we're investing in 5 satellite centers across the globe. One actually is here in Malaysia, where we develop and co-develop sometimes with the OEMs solutions. This is critical. I mean, if I can actually link back, if you don't mind, to Formula One, because a Formula One for us is not just a branding exercise. We're not just putting a sticker on a car.
That's what I always thought.
Which is, by the way, is our car, because yeah. It's called AMG Petronas Formula One Team. But actually, we develop a technical solution and give competitive advantage for the car itself. So we actually provide 5 different fluids, not just the fuel, not just the engine oil, but also the coolant for the power unit and the braking systems, etc. So let me tell you something there. With the change of regulation in Formula 1 in 2014, the engine size was reduced, but actually the power output was increased quite significantly. What it means is that you get a much bigger output per unit and therefore much bigger temperature going into the system. Temperature is correlated to inefficiency. So the higher the temperature, the more, the less efficient is the system, because you burn more in terms of heat actually than power transmitted to the wheels. So our advantage has been to develop solutions that actually not only provide more mileage per liter in terms of fuel, it is actually evident, but also in terms of lubricants to help reducing the temperature or the overall system. That reduction of temperature, even a few degrees, allow for a much better functioning of the engine and much better power output. That technology is called CoolTech. So that CoolTech technology has actually been developed for Formula One and then put into our Syntium product. Now actually has the same. So what it means is that when you are driving in harsh condition or in the normal urban traffic condition, actually when you drive your car and you're queuing every day for hours, I think your engine is actually put under severe stress and temperature rises and actually suboptimize performance, but also it builds up a residual into the engine that actually damage the engine itself. So what does CoolTech does actually clean up this and make sure the temperature drops for that amount that it optimizes performance. Again, to me, this is a very clear link between what we do in our R&D, what we transmit into Formula One, and then from Formula One back to the road. And that, for us, is what investment in technology and in Formula One means.
The usage of lubes, I was also pleasantly surprised to find out, is not just restricted to cars, but also having an industrial usage as well. And in fact, globally, industrial usage of lubes has 40% share. For Petronas Lubricants, is this the industrial side of things something that you guys are looking into as well?
Absolutely. It's very fundamental for us that we represent one third of the total growth. At the moment, we are underrepresented, to be honest, in some markets. Actually, in Malaysia, we got a good share of the industrial business, but in other parts of the world, we're not. And it's very interesting, the application you have, they go from clearly heavy machinery, like agriculture space, or even CVL, so commercial vehicle, but they also go to compressors, the cement industry, the steel industry, and also the food industry, for example, which extensively use of spray oils and other products. And again, that space is very interesting, and to an extent more profitable as well. You have to invest much more in R&D, you have to invest much more in developing unique solution. The certification process is actually quite more tedious, in particular for the food industry. But once you get your foothold in the customer and you build the trust that you can actually be a reliable partner and provide a solution, you're there for a long time and with actually quite stable profitability.
So it sounds like PLI would be quite hungry for funds. And in fact, you have been quoted in press as saying that an IPO is on the cards. Could you give us some kind of a timeline as to when that would happen?
I think that, as you said, put in the context of our ambition, we want to double the business. And now we are we have got that pace now to do that over the next 5 years. Doing that, we require lots of additional funds. So our control of cost, control of the cash flow is fundamental. Let me tell you that we do plan to have mostly an organic approach into that, which is self-funded. The idea clearly is to do even more than that. So the IPO, it's referred to a potential future opportunity to value the company and to give in even a bigger scale to build our efficiencies and our technology. It's a possibility, but I think today the business is actually able to fund itself and the trajectory we set.
So not on the cards in the immediate future?
It is not. And I think it's a possibility we will consider in the future. Also in the view, again, to build on our strength that at this point our product, technology and efficiency. And, you know, once you get the scale right, I think as shareholder, you're going to be benefiting much more.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Giuseppe D'Arrigo, CEO of Petronas Lubricants International on this morning's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.